Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Lackland Air Force Base training sex scandal. It's involved 43 female trainees who allegedly were victimized by their military training instructors during and after basic military training started. This started at about 2009. 17 male instructors were accused of offenses ranging from seeking improper relationships to rape, and 35 instructors were removed from their post pending investigations. The scandal has also resulted in a shakeup in the command at Lackland, and Colonel Deborah Liddick was given the command of the 737th Air Wing. Now 10 months on the job, she has weathered the worst of the sexual misconduct scandal in the history of the Air Force, and she joins us to talk about the programs that she has put in place as a result of the scandal and what progress has been made. We also want to hear from our callers. The number is 614-8980 if you have a question about what's going on at Lackland to put this scandal behind us. And welcome to The Source, Colonel.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Colonel Liddick, BMT commander, and I'm really honored to be here and get an opportunity to brag about BMT and all the great things that we're doing out there.
Fantastic. Well, we're excited to have you here. So you stepped in after the scandal was recognized and some efforts were made to contain it and to resolve it, but then it wasn't getting done, but they needed someone with your skill set to come in and make sure that this was going to be resolved. So what changes have you put in effect there?
Well, first of all, I'm truly honored to be the commander of BMT. This is my second command as a group commander. I was a previous group commander right before I took command. So I feel confident that I have command experience, that I have led enlisted members in my unit. I have high standards. My job as a commander is to maintain good order and discipline, make sure that we have a safe training environment for our trainees, and that we make sure that our trainees are properly trained. And we have a lot of measures that we put in place to ensure both of those issues are taken care of. Safe training environment, we have added more leadership to the group. We have director of operations. We have chief master sergeants. We have more MTIs. We're adding more MTIs to BMT, so we could have two MTIs per flight.
And that's the MTI is military training instructor?
Military training instructor, yes. That's the heart and soul of our job is those military training instructors. They're the ones that are training those civilians to become motivated, disciplined airmen. They're out there. They have the contact time with the trainees. So we put two military training instructors per flight, and each flight has approximately between 50 and 60 civilians that are going to become airmen that they're there to train. So we added more leadership into each of the squadrons. We're adding more NCOs, military training instructors, to the group. We have folks here that are here at TDY to help us, because we're trying to ramp up and get more folks here into the job. So I think overall leadership, we're improving there. And then we're also normalizing their MTI's duty hours. In the past, they used to come in at 4 o'clock in the morning and sometimes not get home to their families until 9, 10 o'clock at night. And they're doing that 7 days a week, maybe 6 days a week, and over an 8-week period. So you can imagine the stress and the duty hours that they're working put a strain on themselves and probably their families. So we have normalized their duty hours. So we have two MTIs. So one will come in early morning, 4 o'clock shift, and then they'll do some type of a shift change around 1 or 2 in the afternoon for the second shift MTI. And he'll take the flight or she'll take the flight through lights out, through 2100, 9 p.m., and then wrap up their paperwork and lights out. So the trainees are basically on their own until 4:45 the next morning.
That's quite a day.
It is. It was really stressful, and I know Sergeant Little can probably talk a little bit about those stressors because he was there working those long hours, and he knows what we're doing now with the better hours and how you feel. So maybe you could provide your input.
Sergeant Thomas Little joins us also, and you are an MTI, military training instructor?
Yes, sir. I'm a master military training instructor. I work up at the training group now, training the new instructors coming in. Primarily the behavioral psychology on leadership development for them, helping them to be able to engage with people, inspiring commitment out of the trainees rather than a traditional thought people have of drill sergeants of just enforcing compliance. You know, we also teach them how to inspire commitment and become better leaders as well.
And so these long days that we heard the colonel talking about and the stresses and the responsibility that you and others like you have, I mean, that's got to weigh on you.
Yes, sir, absolutely. One thing that's for sure is I know for a fact I volunteered to come down to be a military training instructor. The application process alone takes about a year. You know, we really do try to pick the best and the best that the Air Force has to offer. So typically when we come down here almost expecting it. It's what the Air Force has done for forever is have the, you know, one instructor per flight. You know, you get out there, they're like your family, you know, like your kids. And so you come here really passionate, expecting to work those long hours. Me personally, I came here by myself. I didn't have, family at home waiting for me. So my trainees were like my kids, you know. It's from the day they got there till the day they graduated. That's, that's the passion we had as MTIs was to be able to give them everything we could, just like if they were our children. The hours, though, were definitely difficult for sure. I mean, 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, my alarm clock was set for 3:15 in the morning. I wouldn't get home till about 9:30 at night. And just like Colonel Liddick said, that was 7 days a week, you know, especially in the early weeks of training.
And so when you have like all that pressure, I mean, you're not getting 8 hours of sleep if you're working those types of hours. That's going to cause judgment issues and so having one person with all that responsibility, you can see how there can be sort of a breakdown. And you've doubled. Now you have two persons per flight. And a flight is the group of the new recruits, is that it?
Yes, sir. So each flight can have between 50 and 60 members. So, yes, we have two military trained instructors per flight.
And having two individuals are also being able to watch each other's back or make sure that no one does anything that would cause an issue like we had with the scandal that brought so much negative attention to what happened over at Lackland.
I'm sure there's some amount of accountability, but like Sergeant Little says, we are bringing in absolute professionals into this Corps, and we're training them. These are master sergeants and tech sergeants that have anywhere between 11 and 16 years time in their Air Force that are committed to our core values, and these are professional NCOs that we're bringing in now that have a lot of experience. So they're going through a training process, a seven-week training process in a classroom, and then 90-day certification out on the line, actually leading airmen trainees out there. So these folks are absolute, in my book, tops in the Air Force. We're bringing the best of the best in here.
And between 20 and 25% of the new recruits are women. And are they integrated? Is it all women in the flight, or is it integrated in the flight with male and female?
The whole flight is either male or female. And what we're also doing with the MTIs is we're bringing in more female MTIs. So for every four MTIs, one of them would be a female. So between the four flights, we'll have a mentor, a female mentor that can actually go and be exposed to, you know, males and females can be exposed to a female military instructor. So we have a nice balance out there when it to represent the Air Force.
Okay, we're listening to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about the Lackland Air Force Base training sex scandal. We're going to continue our conversation with Colonel Deborah Liddick and also Sergeant Thomas Little. He is a training instructor at the Air Force Base. And when we come back, and we want to take your phone calls, the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got a question, give us a call. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about what has happened since the Lackland Air Force Base sex scandal, how things have changed there. And I'm talking with the Colonel Deborah Liddick and also a military training instructor, Sergeant Thomas Little. And let me get to you, Colonel. So since you've come into command over at the 737th Air Wing, we've seen, you know, quite a bit of changes, particularly, I mean, the sex scandal is now over. We're not seeing more eruptions of that. And still what we're, trying to reestablish credibility and trust and making sure that that there is lines of communication that remain open to prevent something like this from happening again.
That's right. We are trying to make BMT a safe environment for the civilians that come in as trainees and to gain that trust with the public. And we have instituted a couple of different some changes in BMT to help create that safe environment. One is having more leadership. A year ago, the leaders in the officers that were assigned to BMT, there was 11 officers assigned, one per squadron, plus a group commander, a deputy group commander. So there was 11 officers in BMT. Today, we have 51 officers. We have, you know, a huge amount of leadership at all different levels, at a flight commander level, that's the company grade officer level, to field grade level with the director of operations to commanders. So each squadron has six officers assigned. Before, it used to be just one. We also put in chaplains in every squadron. So there's a chaplain assigned to every squadron for the trainees and also for the MTIs. If they want to use the chaplains, they're available, and they're being utilized. We're also put in hotlines in all of the dormitories for the trainees to communicate. If anybody in BMT is sexually assaulted, sexually harassed, they could pick up the hotline and push one, and they'll be able to talk to a sexual response coordinator on the phone 24/7. So they'll walk them through that process. There's also they could communicate up the chain of command. They could also use the trainee comment sheet. I read every trainee comment sheet that comes in. And if it's sometimes they talk about all the good things that are going on in BMT, mostly about their MTIs and how awesome they are and how they inspired them. But sometimes there's some issues that we have to look into. And I have folks that will investigate every allegation of misconduct. And then we run it to ground and hold those folks accountable.
Okay, we do have a couple of phone calls. We want to get to them. The number is 614-8980. Mike, welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much. This is directed to the Colonel. Hi, Colonel.
Hi.
Hi. For those of us who had our A and T prefixes for quite a while now, Phil felt kind of betrayed about this, too. But one of the things I was wondering was, did I understand you correctly to say that all of the new MTIs that are coming in will be senior enlisted?
The MTIs that we're hiring right now, we still have volunteers that are putting in packages, but the Air Force went out and selected tech sergeants and master sergeants to become MTIs. And these folks have been selected, and they have been arriving since March. And most of them have anywhere between, as a tech sergeant, between 8 to 16 years in the service. So they're not senior enlisted. They're mid-grade.
All right, thank you for that call, Mike. Emilio also wants to join the conversation. Emilio, welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much for taking my call. First of all, I am a Marine Corps veteran, so I have an idea what the military people serve under. Thank goodness that things are going to be hopefully improved. We hear that money is going to be made available to help these victims, sexual abuse victims, who were kicked out of the military for having reported the sexual abuse. My question is, what happens to these officers, commanding officers, psychologists, psychiatrists, who failed to perform their duties in a proper manner? In effect, they made the victims feel double victimized. So what happens to these officers? Professionals, they were supposed to have done the right thing in the first place. Are they still in office? Are they still in power?
All right, Emilio, thank you for that call. I don't think that the colonel is in a position to be able to address that issue, but I know that obviously that, you know, when you are putting so many more resources into trying to deal with the situation, you're getting more personnel, more officers, more training going on. That shows you that obviously you're having to, it costs money. You're getting that support, I imagine, up the command chain. Is that right, Colonel?
That's correct. Yep.
So they're showing a commitment in that way to demonstrate that they want to change, see positive changes, and make sure that people have what they need to to train all of these individuals. They're pretty young. I mean, I bet they show up, they're about like 18, 19 years old.
Well, actually, the average age is 21.9.
Okay.
So most of them, a lot of them have some type of college. Some of them are married with children. They have already had other life experiences before they came in. Maybe with the economy out there and finding jobs, this is the best way for them to take care of their families and serve our country.
So that's good, because then people they've seen some things in life. They know they have a little bit of maturity on them.
Right.
They're not right out of high school, and so they realize that this is for real.
Right. Absolutely.
So let me ask you, Sergeant Little, how is this impacting when people show up to be trained at Lackland Air Force Base, particularly the women, and maybe they probably have heard about these scandals? What kind of questions do they have when they show up?
They typically don't ask the military training instructors any kind of questions regarding the past, for sure. I know in the very first week, we call it their zero week, Colonel Liddick gives them at their chapel orientation briefing an extremely in-depth briefing on just how safe, they are here and everything that she's, put in place to ensure their safety. One thing I can tell you myself personally, I would gladly die for any one of my trainees from the day I see them off that bus. That we do not put them in a position where they're afraid. We definitely will induce the effective amount of stress inoculation to be able to put them in a, in a challenge zone, in a learning zone. But we definitely don't put them in a place ever where they feel threatened, for their life or for their safety in any way. And I'm pretty sure Colonel Liddick, right there in zero week for that chapel orientation, and Chief Master Sergeant Williams, they brief the trainees and let them know everything we have set in place to ensure that, ensure their safety.
And so this was safety is at the core of all the changes that you've put in?
It's top of my book. As a commander, I have to maintain good order and discipline and make sure that they have a safe training environment. Like Sergeant Little says, on Fridays, I get to meet with all of the new trainees that just arrived within the first 72 hours. And I introduce myself. I tell them who I am. I'm their commander. My job is to take care of every one of them and make sure that they're properly trained and they graduate as motivated, disciplined airmen with the foundation to serve in our Air Force. Also at the Chapel O, we didn't talk about this, but one of the most important changes that we instituted was the wingman policy. All of our trainees will have a wingman wherever they go in BMT. They will never, ever be left alone in BMT. They're never allowed to be behind closed doors alone with a military training instructor. They're never. They always have to have a wingman with them. The doors open, counseling sessions. Most of the time, the MTIs counsel them on some type of motivational, you need to do this job better or faster. And sometimes having the wingman there is probably good for them, too, to hear that same message. But the wingman program is critical in BMT. If you see a trainee by themselves, anybody in that chain of command can probably say, hey, something's wrong here. Let me go see what's going on, because they must have a wingman wherever they go. Certainly if they go to a doctor's appointment, they'll have to have their wingman when they get there. But when they have a private doctor's appointment, it's certainly private between him and with the doctor or with the chaplain. Same thing if they have a private counseling session. But they have to bring a wingman with them. And then usually the wingman waits outside the door. So no time in BMT is anybody left alone. So there's always two people together.
When the scandal came out and the news started coming out, people were saying that this was a issue of the culture in the military, and that the women were not being respected, and that they were being victimized. And so have you effectively kind of changed the culture, at least at Lackland Air Force Base, that this is not tolerated, and you've communicated that, and everyone takes it seriously, and that there are, sanctions put on people who have not gotten the message?
I am confident the folks that work in BMT today are absolute professionals. These MTIs that do their job are doing it above all. They are meeting the standards, and they understand if they don't meet the standards, then they're going to be held accountable. But I am confident, and I am proud of the folks that work in BMT today. They're doing the right thing. They are training 36,000 civilians every year to become airmen, and they do their job great. Every Friday, every Thursday and Friday, we have coin ceremony or parade, and it just makes me so proud to see them march those trainees and those airmen onto the coin retreat pad or down the bomb run for parade on Friday, and where they came from. Because, like I said, I get to meet them within 72 hours of arrival, and then I get to see them at graduation 8 weeks later. And, wow, what an amazing transformation those MTIs have done to those individuals. So I know they're doing their job very, very well, and I'm very proud of them. And the folks that did wrong, they're out of this organization. They're being held accountable. Some of them are in jail, but the rest that are under investigation are out of our organization. So I am confident that the people that we have here are doing a fabulous job, and I'm very proud of them.
I want to thank you, Colonel Deborah Liddick, and also Sergeant Thomas Little, for coming up here into the studios here at Texas Public Radio and giving us an update on how things are going at Lackland Air Force Base and how changes have been made there to take care of this issue. And congratulations on everything that you've accomplished thus far. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for listening.
The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Paul Flav produces the show. Oversight is provided by TPR Program Director Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor, and production assistance comes from Catherine Dixon. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.